They had shouldered their packs and headed into the interior of the island, using the river as a guide. They made good time across the flat tundra. By mid-morning, when they had taken their first break, they had trudged several miles. As she hoisted her pack to resume the trek, Carla said, "I've been wondering, how did you transport the specimen all the way back to the camp? It must weigh hundreds of pounds." Ito smiled and pointed to the packs he and Sato were carrying. "Inflatable rafts. We got the specimen to the river and floated all the way back to camp." Ito smiled and bowed politely when Carla congratulated them on their ingenuity. Sergei took up the lead, followed by the two women with the Japanese men taking up the rear. They struck off inland, away from the river. The topography changed from flat tundra to rolling hills and valleys, and eventually they were on the edge of the rolling foothills that ring the base of the volcano. As they drew closer to it, the black truncated mountain that they had seen in the distance began to loom above their heads. The cold wind was no longer a problem once they had descended into a ravine about 30 feet wide. 20-foot banks hemmed them in on both sides. A narrow stream a couple of feet deep ran down the middle, with plenty of room for walking on either side. They traveled along the winding gorge for 2 hours, and the composition of the banks began to change. Soon it became apparent that the ravine was an ancient mortuary. The low cliffs were composed almost entirely of bones of every size and species, cemented together by the permafrost. She quickly identified pygmy horse and ancient reindeer fossils, ribs and femurs, along with massive mammoth bones and tusks. The graveyard went on for at least 200 yards. With great fanfare, Sergei announced that they had reached their destination. He dropped his rucksack on the ground next to the blackened ashes of a fire. "This is our base camp." The others left their bags as well and continued along the ravine carrying only camera equipment and a few hand tools. After hiking along the ravine for another 10 minutes, they came to a section where there was a shallow cave in the wall of the gorge. "This is where we found our little baby," Sergei said. The ragged cavity was several feet across and about a yard deep. Carla examined the hole. "There's something strange here. There are other bones much deeper in the permafrost. They are evidently thousands of years old." She reached into the hole and scraped out some decayed vegetation and showed it to her colleagues. "This stuff is not very old. Your little elephant came into the hole more recently."
"What are you saying?" Sergei said, with no attempt to hide his impatience. "That the mammoth is not part of its surroundings?"
"I don't know what I'm saying. Only that it is odd that the flesh is not rotting." Sergei saw that he was losing his conversational edge.
"We're not here to look at holes," he said brusquely.
He led the way about 100 feet from the discovery site to where the ravine branched off.
"You go with Maria down there," he said, pointing to the left-hand branch. "We'll examine the other ravine."
"We've already been down this one," Maria protested.
"Look again. Maybe you'll find some more of your floating mammoths."
After walking several minutes, Carla saw why Maria had been so angry about being ordered to the left-hand branch. There were few bones to be found. Maria confirmed that the expedition had partially explored the other gorge and found it far richer in bones than the one they were in. As they scanned the walls of the gorge, Maria's hand radio crackled. Ito's voice came on.
"Maria and Carla, please return immediately to the point where the party split up."
Minutes later, they were back at the place the ravine forked. Ito was waiting for them. He said he had something to show them, and led the way along the tributary to where the other two men were waiting in front of a section of banking that looked as if it had been blasted open with dynamite.
"Somebody has been digging here," Sergei said, stating the obvious.
"Who could have done such a thing?" Sato said.
"Is there anyone else on the island?" Carla asked.
"We didn't think so," Ito said. "I thought I saw a light a few nights ago, but I couldn't be sure."
"Ivory hunters,"
Sergei pronounced. He picked up a splint of bone from the hundreds of broken pieces that littered the ground.
I had no idea they had found this place. It's a sin. There's no science here. It looks as if someone has taken a hammer and chiseled to it. Actually, we use a portable jackhammer.